You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Mozika, I'm Greg Sussman. You know, all that analysis that we have done over the last 4 days, you can take that and just throw it out the window. If, you know, not if anything, because last night was such a fantasy-friendly game in general, where you probably had something. The way you are feeling this morning is... That's the question. Wow, what a Thursday night game. We have so much to talk about. Corey, what's going on? How you feeling?
What's up? What you feeling? Doing well. Yeah, a lot to talk about with this game. Fun game, interesting game, exciting game. Definitely was a good one last night. What I will say is this, though. How in the hell did the Falcons win that game, number one? And number two, you know, you just, for fantasy purposes, obviously Alvin Kamara going down early in the game, already with 3 receptions on the first drive.
There was so much room for him. I'm sitting there and I'm with somebody that was playing against Kamara, and he was so open. And they're just like, how are they not guarding this dude? And it was unbelievable. You just saw him so open on that first drive. And he was on his way to another ridiculously great game, Matt.
Yeah, no, look, it's a shame. The guy got injured. That's what people have to understand. It's bigger than their fantasy teams, believe it or not, but nobody's going to go there. Matt Ryan, remarkably, is 2-0 when he throws 3 interceptions. The rest of the league is 0-20. So, I didn't get to see the second half. But I was parked the car. I saw that we had the ball on the 11-yard line. I'm like, okay, get a field goal, get some overtime. Let's have some more fantasy-friendly points go up. And he throws an interception.
All right.
Fun crusher.
All right, here we go. Here is the obvious question. You had Alvin Kamara last night who, if you just looked at Twitter or you were sitting with your buddies and you're watching this game and you're just like, oh, my God. So many of these teams, Corey, you and I had gotten so far with Kareem Hunt. And over the last month, it's been a disaster. We've called that Eddie Reed. We've called that Kareem Hunt. But if you rode the wave of Alvin Kamara into the playoffs, there's a good chance your team was Alvin Kamara and then a bunch of side pieces.
Hopefully you had a bye this week. That's really the best.
Hopefully you were able to ride it that far.
Because your best player really just gave you single digits. And,
the biggest night of the year.
On the biggest night of the year, he gives you a single-digit performance. So it's just like we say every Friday morning, though, it's not over.
Okay, so usually it's Scott that says that. And the three of us are just like, oh, no.
But it's true. It's not over.
No.
It's still, what, 14 games on the slate this weekend?
There are still 15 games.
15 games on the slate this weekend. Mm-hmm. It'll be more movement and shaking, so I wouldn't trip off it too hard. Of course, you don't like to be in this situation with your best guy giving you this, but, hey, what you going to do? Not play the game? Next man up.
Of course. Yeah, of course. But now, Matt, people are going to have decisions that they didn't necessarily expect, right? Like, they might take some more chances now this weekend looking for that monster boom than they would have.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. This guy has just been electric. He's been putting up the points. And, it's not over, though, but you're disappointed coming off of last night, I'm sure, in many aspects.
Yeah, it's an absolutely wild game. We're going to continue to break it down. There's a huge debate over Drew Brees and what we should do with him. That question was answered. The same goes for Matt Ryan as well. So we'll talk about both of those things. We'll get through this game from Thursday night, and we'll dive into it as only we can. We are the Roto Experts. We continue on right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
I'm with, I'm watching a game with a friend last night who had a bye. Oh, this is crazy. Okay, who had a bye. And because of that bye, he was kind of set up for who he's going to play against. And he had set his team up. His running backs for next week are Mark Ingram. And he sees Alvin Kamara goes down. And you should see the blank eating grin that he had on his face when Alvin Kamara goes down. And his other running back is Devontae Freeman. And you should see the blank eating grimace on his face when Tevin Coleman goes down. It was the perfect night for my friend. And this is a brutal night for so many that started both Tevin Coleman and certainly Alvin Kamara last night. In a game that I agree, Corey, how the heck did the Falcons win that one? They come through in the game they really needed, winning 20-17.
I don't know whether it was like, is this Atlanta team like battle tested to where they know how to win in these spots?
Well, listen.
Or were they just lucky last night?
They were lucky last night, in my opinion.
They've won some big games. Every time this team is back has been against the wall this season, they've come out with a W.
They got bailed out last night.
I agree. I'm just throwing it out there. The bottom line is they got to win.
The bottom line is they got to win.
They got to win.
They got bailed out.
Is that a battle-tested win, or is like you said, they got bailed out? Because they're playing one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best teams in the NFL. And when your quarterback throws three interceptions, one of which was not his fault at all, two of which were just absolutely brutal throws. I mean, I
all of a sudden, listen, when he waits till week 14
forcing the ball to Julio.
To start forcing the ball to Julio Jones in week 14.
I am all for forcing the ball to Julio Jones. We've said it a million times. But, like, throw it up to the dude. Don't throw it, like, at my chest where the defender can turn around and catch the ball.
Matt Ryan looked timid at times last night.
Forget timid. He looked bad.
He's not comfortable in this offense yet.
Let's just go back to that touchdown, that series when they scored the Freeman rushing touchdown.
Oh, you want to fast forward?
Yeah, I have to get to this because this like blew my mind watching this on TV, how Julio Jones is not on the field.
Yeah. And let's be clear, newer is Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, no. Sanu, who did get a touchdown later on,
yes,
and been such a vocal point of this offense as well, they're not even on the field. You have two linemen going out for passes. I mean, for me, this is like a fireable offense.
it's weird, right? Like, all right, a lot of their success came on the ground with Devontae Freeman last night, who I thought looked tremendous. 24 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown. Lost all passing down
Dude
work.
Dude runs like a madman.
He runs like a madman. Lost all passing down work to Tevin Coleman, who didn't catch a pass, but he was in there on the passing downs.
I had Tevin Coleman in my lineup last night versus
good.
Chris Vaccaro.
We put him in ours.
That's not good either. In the fourth quarter, it was all Tevin Coleman until he got concussed. And then Freeman came back in and continued running like a madman. I know he only averaged 3.8 yards a carry, but he looked so good. Anyway, so first down is a Freeman drive in every which way. They hand it to him on first down. He gets stuffed. All right, fine. Second down, basically the same formation. We're sitting here like, all right, hand it to him again. I wasn't bothered by it as a Julio owner. You want to hand it to the dude that's literally brought you down there? Fine, do it. Instead, they do a play action. Okay. So I'm like, all right, I guess this is going to go to Austin Hooper or Devontae Freeman out of the backfield. Fine. Instead, you had three different linemen go out. And in week 14, Steve Sarkisian's getting cute, trying to give the ball to one of his offensive linemen who, you know what, can't catch the ball. So a little too smart for his own good. However, third down, same formation. They give it to Freeman. He walks in.
A little bit too cute. They got a little bit too cute with the offense that time, Steve Sarkisian. We've seen it from him almost the length of the season. So, listen, the bottom line of it is he's not going nowhere. He'll be back running this offense once again next year. We just hope for next season that Matt Ryan has a better feel of it. Matt Ryan normally plays better in the second year of a new offense. I think you can expect that. But as far as Sarkisian, listen, the team is still, they have 8 wins. Nothing's going to change with this team.
No.
What we have with this team, what we see right now, is going to be the same thing we see in week 15 and 16.
And if the Packers lose this week, bless you. If the Packers lose this week, there's really no reason to bring Aaron Rodgers back. So everybody's
rooting for
the Packers.
That's true, too.
That
you're right.
Aaron Rodgers due to
it's
the
going
to
be a 10 win team is not going to get in an NFC.
It seems that way.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I just scratch my head with this offense and. Matt Ryan, like I said, you were 100% right. One wasn't his fault, but the one before the half, how do you do that?
A joke. It's unbelievably dumb. Julio Jones, start there. For Atlanta. Julio, 5 for 98 on 11 targets. He absolutely forced the ball to Julio throughout the night. Julio made some nice plays, some nice cuts. Didn't find the end zone, really. Had a target, a couple targets that were intercepted on bad throws by Matt Ryan. I know Julio was annoyed at some of them, but he was... You know, Marshawn Lattimore wasn't like a thing last night against Julio, who really was dominant at times. Didn't get you in the end zone.
Well, the kid Lattimore played good, though.
Little fine. He looked fine.
I mean, that's Julio Jones. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I get it. I get it.
I thought he played well.
Okay. I thought he held his own. Helped him. And, yeah. You know, he is coming back from an injury, so.
Absolutely. He wasn't 100%. 100%. So Julio got you 14 points. Last night in the PPR, 14.8 to be exact. In my half pointer, he got me 12.3.
I can do it.
How should I? You're like,
I can do it. Listen, 5 for 98. Yeah. You want the touchdown to go with that?
Even the touchdown, it's like the ideal night, right? Like this is great. This is all I could ask for. I'm feeling good.
11 targets, yeah.
So, I mean, you got your 14 points in PPR. Matt, you're Julio Jones owner in a lot of important places. How do you feel today?
I mean, I'm content, but I did want a touchdown or, you know. I thought there were opportunities for bigger, like I said, you correctly, Matt Ryan threw a couple terrible passes to him. It was one or two that he dropped to, or he could have had,
okay.
I thought, as well. But, yeah, no, I'll take 15 points. I'm 15 points from Julio will not be the reason why you lost this week.
Yeah. Listen, I said it yesterday as the Julio Jones owner. I was talking to my opponent, in all honesty, and I literally said this exact line yesterday morning. I said, if I get 12 points from Julio on Thursday night, I'm going to feel fine. It's like, you know what? This is not winning me. It's not losing me. It's fine. If you wake up on Friday and you see that Julio Jones got me 12 points, you're like, all right, fine.
Both sides are fine with that.
No one's crushed by that number in any means. You had Mohamed Sanu last night. It worked out very well for you. 6 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown for Sanu. I thought there was a chance the ball's going to Julio. I was like, oh! Yeah. But it was Sanu.
I mean, we mentioned Sanu yesterday, and he's just so involved in this offense. The one thing I will say about the Sarkisian offense, which might be one of Matt Ryan's problems, is I don't think the tight end is involved enough. It's something. He threw 10 touchdown passes to tight ends last year. He's had Tony Gonzalez in the past and stuff. The tight end has been a part of the Matt Ryan offense, and it seems like it's really not part of the Steve Sarkisian offense.
Absolutely. I agree with that very, very much. But towards the end of the game, let's look at the Falcons here before we move over to New Orleans. At the end of the game, New Orleans is driving. They're just driving and driving and driving. By the way, terrible clock management at the beginning of the first half by Mike Smith, not calling a timeout, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They throw the interception, doesn't matter. End of the game, it's a penalty on third down, third and one. They call a holding penalty. And Mike Smith declines the penalty to bring it to fourth and one. If he would have accepted the penalty, he would have moved it to third and 11. And, you know, back the field goal range. Instead, he accepts fourth and one. Drew Brees sneaks in. All of a sudden, we have first down again, and the Saints are 20 yards away from winning the football game. You idiot. What are you doing? Like, how do you let them have fourth and one where you're fourth and one with Drew Brees, your quarterback?
One of the best running teams in the NFL.
One of the best running teams in the NFL. They didn't need to run it. They just sneaked it in. No problem. No big deal. Like, what are you doing?
And then they didn't run the ball when they had a chance to at least secure the field goal.
And then they got a little cocky. So one of the big questions that we had going into Thursday night's game was about Drew Brees. Where do you start and where do you rank him? Jake Seeley had him as a top five quarterback going into Thursday night. Others, my boy Frank Stample, had him outside his top 15, I think, right? Certainly outside of his top 12. The question that you had, Matt, a lot was Jared Goff or Drew Brees, or was it Jared Goff and Matt Ryan?
Jared Goff, Drew Brees.
Thank God. What direction did you go in?
I went with Drew Brees.
You went with Drew Brees.
I play him mostly in the 6-point passing touchdowns. And before the interception, I had 26 points, which I was fine with. And I was hoping for overtime and maybe get, you know, 30 points.
Absolutely.
So that interception was devastating for fantasy on many levels. It just ended that game right there. Field goal, you know, maybe Julio gets a couple of catches.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Matt Ryan probably would have thrown an interception.
Probably so.
Because Drew Brees got more yards.
Drew Brees, 271 and 2, does have the interception. You started him.
Another you can't be upset with 271
and 2. You feel fine? No, absolutely not. You feel good?
You got you like 18 points in a 4-point
Yeah, but that's what Drew Brees is now. It's no more 30-point, no more Drew Brees 30 burgers.
His offense changed when Alvin Kamara went down.
Well, the difference is, if he throws that touchdown pass at the end, you're like, hey,
feeling great.
Drew Brees.
Great. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to pause this game. We're going to get back to it in the 8 o'clock hour. But when we come back, drinks on Robbie? We do it next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
The weekend has arrived. This is the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. This is Wall Street Matt Modica. I'm Greg Sussman. We're going to get more into the Saints and the Falcons in a little bit. A lot to go over before the Sunday game starts. A lot to unpack there, absolutely. But I want to start unpacking in New York with your boy, Robbie Anderson.
My guy, I'm president of Robbie Anderson Fan Club. You know how I feel about the young man.
Mm-hmm. We've answered a lot of questions this week when it's come to Robbie Anderson, right? This guy, Robbie. And Matt's kind of sat there and been like, Kareem Hunt. And we're like, no, dude, it's Robbie Anderson. It's got to be Robbie. We don't care about the matchup with Denver. It doesn't matter. You continue to start Robbie. And we chanted for him. We did everything. It comes down with a little hamstring injury during practice on Thursday. So much so that he finished a limited practice. Todd Bowles said after the practice, he has no idea if this dude's going to start. Some of your reporters are saying he's okay. Until he practices on Friday, I have no idea if Robbie Anderson's going to play.
I mean, you want to see him get out there and get in the full practice today. Hopefully the hamstring holds up enough to where, you know, you can have Robbie in your lineup this week. If not, you always have a walkthrough tomorrow. And then, you know, what you don't want is a dreaded game time decision on Sunday. But I have a feeling it's trending in that direction.
It was a midweek soft tissue injury for Robbie Anderson, and that's what scares the crap out of me, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's not good. And you want to play Robbie Anderson if he's deemed, if he practices today and stuff. I mean, you really have to wait till this practice. It's going to be pure speculation, but it's going to be hard to bench Robbie Anderson. The fact, though, I mean, Denver, you know, the no-fly zone, as we've repeatedly said, is not what it was once was. It's kind of clear skies, but if he's got Talib on him, that's still not an easy matchup. And I know Josh McCown's been awesome the last couple of weeks, but you're still going to Denver. I'm concerned right now, yeah. I'm very concerned, actually.
I'm more concerned about the hamstring than I am about the Denver Broncos.
I agree.
The Broncos have, if I'm not mistaken, the most touchdown passes have been thrown against the Broncos this year.
That is correct.
The most touchdown
yesterday.
Passes.
That's a fact. Took that out of BFFs yesterday.
And you know what Robbie Anderson does?
He catches touchdowns.
He catches touchdowns.
Now, if Robbie Anderson doesn't play,
Jermaine Kearse will catch touchdowns.
Will he, or will he be literally the only receiver on the field, and now you get nervous?
Oh, I would roll Austin Seferian Jenkins out there.
You would?
I would do the Corey Parson offense. I would flex ASJ everywhere.
Really? Especially that Denver's pretty horrific versus the tight end.
Yeah.
They have not been good this season versus tight end.
So would you roll ASJ out there anyway?
Yeah.
So whether Robbie plays or not.
I don't know. See, if Robbie's inactive, I would go to Corey Parson offense and rock the two tight ends. But
I like that you think you created this.
I did. Okay. I'm taking credit for it. You feel what I'm saying? It's mine. It's the Corey Parson offense.
Look, if you watch the game this past Sunday, I know it was the Kansas City secondary or whatever, but Robbie Anderson was making some terrific catches. He was all over the field. So if this guy's injured, like I said, is this something that just popped up? So you just really got to monitor and see what comes out of today's practice going forward. So it's kind of a thing where, you know, what are we going to say? If he's healthy and he's out there, you're playing him.
You're playing him. You roll him out there. And I think you do so confidently. I would not have no hesitation about playing Robbie Anderson this week. And I know Tlaib and these cats, they're good, very good corners. You see that catch he made in the back of the end zone with three Carolina Panthers on him? This kid is balling right now. He's locked in. He's in the zone. He's out there. He's going in my lineup.
He's outrageously good right now. But the hamstring issue is both an issue on game day and not, right? Like, he left practice with a hamstring. Those things aggravate relatively easily.
Exactly. In situations where he could leave the game, not play a limited amount of snaps, you still can't sit him. You feel what I'm saying? If you're a Jermaine Kearse owner, you feel better about him this week. I had a team with Kearse and Michael Thomas. That team is not qualified for the playoffs. So that team is going to go off this week.
So I have a
on perfect timing.
I have a team with Jermaine Kearse and Robbie Anderson. Which one would you start?
I'm going to start Robbie Anderson, as long as I know. But as you state, I don't know. Like, this is all, like, new to me, all this Robbie Anderson groin stuff. Mm-hmm. I was under the assumption
he was fine.
This is happening. I think Jermaine Kearse, though, is better with Robbie Anderson.
I agree with that.
So, because Robbie Anderson is going to take away some coverage and help him out in that aspect. But, it's right now, what are you going to do? You're just going to wait on news. Robbie Anderson plays. I mean, Jermaine Kearse to me isn't a must start or anything like that. It depends on what you have. You may have other receivers that you want. If Robbie Anderson, say, does not play, then I'm going to bump up Jermaine Kearse just on the target volume alone that he should receive. I mean, what does he have? Back-to-back 25-point weeks?
He does. Something along those lines, yeah. You know, the Jets' offense and Josh McCown absolutely high-flying right now. To lose Robbie Anderson would be a death knell, but it'd be bad. It'd be very, very hurtful to Josh McCown's value, too.
Yeah, no, it would be tough, to lose him. But I think they're not going to quit, and they're still going to wing it against this team. I think the people around the NFL know that. You can, like, they give up low yardage totals, Denver's defense. I mean, their secondary, the touchdowns are there, and the Jets are flying high right now as far as their offense goes and not getting the W's. I don't have no problem with this offense right now. This is the offense, if they have all their pieces, this is the offense that can help you win fantasy championships, including Josh McCown.
Do you think Robbie Anderson will be wearing a gold chain this weekend?
He should.
Match his hair.
Yeah.
Would you guys, if Robbie Anderson does not play, which is possible, would you rather start Jermaine Kearse or Cooper Kupp?
Jermaine Kearse.
That's a good question. I might lean Kearse there.
You will lean Kearse there.
He'll be the one guy there that should receive the lion's share, though. I do like him when there's another option for Jermaine Kearse. So, he's not at the focal point.
Okay, so there you go with that. What if I said it's a flex? I could start DeMarco Murray instead as well.
DeMarco.
I know, your boy.
I'm still going with Kearse.
Yeah, I think I got to go Kearse here. We talked about, riding these hot players and stuff when they're just rolling too much. Josh McCown's been told he's going to be quarterback rest of the season.
Yeah.
He's 38 years old. This guy's not, waiting for next year. He's going to just go out there and try and ball.
He's like Joe Montana on the Chiefs. I don't know how I made that comparison. Because of the age, likely, what I'm saying? But, no, he's getting it done. McCown's a top 12 fantasy quarterback. McCown's a starting in week 14. McCown is your starter. You feel good about that, even on the road in Denver.
As he should.
Yeah.
As he should. It's wild that we're there with a playoff on the line, you're starting Josh McCown.
Yeah. No problem with Waddle either.
And no problem with it. And no problem with it.
I was starting over Dak Prescott this week. I would start him over a lot of people this week.
Yeah, and you start Robbie Anderson over a lot of people. You start Jermaine Kearse over a lot of people. It's crazy.
I don't know if I have him top 12 this week, though.
Really? He's slinging it, as Corey said.
He is. I mean, especially if Robbie Anderson's not playing, I think he takes a hit.
Yes.
I can see that.
Definitely.
I think he's going to take a hit. But even say Robbie Anderson's in there, I would say, I'm not saying, you know, I think he's more in that 12 to 15 range. I'm looking at the link here. The link has him, where does the link have him?
The link being Jake Seeley's column on Roto Experts.
19th.
Josh McCown's 19th?
He has Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's a little ridiculous to me. I'm sorry. Kind of like having, you know, that's a little ridiculous to me.
I'll make sure I ask Jake about that on the Frenzy.
Well, I'll write that down, you know, and they just replace your segment now. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sticking with the Jets here for a moment, Matt Forte did return to practice this week. Now, I know you don't really want to start Matt Forte, Bilal Powell, inside your fantasy playoffs. In fact, I dropped Matt Forte even though he had this good game because I'm never going to realistically start this dude. But, Corey, with Matt Forte, is there a reason to own him? Is there a reason to own Bilal Powell? Is there a reason to own any of the Jets running backs?
I don't think. I mean, this is week 14. This is the playoffs. You got to start one of those dudes. Obviously, it would be Matt Forte if he's healthy and ready to go. That's the only one I'm interested in playing out there that I would be playing. But this is still a defense that's tough against the run. They are stout in that regard. So it'd be hard for me to start a New York Jet running back.
I actually would want to start a Jet running back.
Really?
Unless the defensive line, the injuries that they suffered, you know, last week, the guys that didn't play, are coming back. But this isn't the Denver line that was, you know, dominating against the run currently at this point in time in the season. So, but the problem is with the Jets, you know, you really can't roll one of these guys out, in my opinion. If you're doing it, maybe you backed into the playoffs, and, I mean, Bilal Powell gets the touchdown, Matt Forte gets most of the work, you know, they sprinkle in Elijah McGuire here and there. It's, you know,
there's nothing consistent in that pass,
yeah,
and in that
can
running
rely
game.
On and nothing that you know, you don't know who's going to get a touchdown, if they're going to get a touchdown. I mean, look, the Jets, you want three players in the offense not named Josh McCown. That's Robbie Anderson, Kearse, or ASJ.
That's it.
The frustrating thing potentially for Robbie Anderson, Corey, if it does come down to Sunday, it's a 4 o'clock game. It is not a 1 p.m. game.
Yeah, that's right there. It's frustrating. So we got to plan to move the Robbie Anderson to the flex game. I got to check my Robbie Anderson team because I believe if Robbie can't go, I'll be relying on Rashard Matthews, and he plays at one, right?
He does, I think, yeah.
Why now? Why me?
Listen, if he practices today and fully, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, no doubt.
If he doesn't practice today,
he's going to be, I guarantee he's going to be limited today.
He's not going to get full. No way.
I don't think he has a full
no
practice today.
No way he's going full.
It's limited. You see what the coach say afterwards. And then, yeah, this thing is headed for a game time decision at
4 o'clock.
Yep. On the East Coast.
I mean, look, it's an injury you have to be concerned about, especially for, you know.
Absolutely. Soft tissue middle of the week. It's exactly what you want to avoid. So there you go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will go live. We'll go live with the King. He'll join the program. He'll give us a call in. And we'll see how he feels about Michael Thomas dropping 30 on him last night. So we'll see how he reacts to that. He'll probably tell me it's one game and act like I've been there before. But I'm going to make sure he knows that Michael Thomas dropped 30 on him last night. The King joins the Roto Experts next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts, and as we are each and every day at this time, we're joined by the King, Scott Engel. What's going on, Scotty?
very busy. Did 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern, as I'm doing every day now, and I'll be co-hosting with George Kurtz tomorrow on the Roto Experts Weekend Edition, Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern.
Will you be talking about Michael Thomas dropping close to 28 points against you?
I don't think it's a major thing. That's good for you, but one player in one game, you know, there's 15 games to go. You know how I feel about this, so, you know, I'm not... You have a good team. Your team's getting hot at the right time, you know, as we face each other in the playoffs. But, you know, I'm not overreacting to the fact that one player had a good game.
Well, I understand that overreacting, but, you know, you would have liked to have less than 27.7 points probably against you.
Yeah, but I could have Antonio Brown score 40 on Sunday.
Listen,
so,
if Antonio Brown only scores 40, I'll be happy. So that's how I feel about that.
So if I have Antonio Brown, I'm not going to sit here and worry about what Michael Thomas did, you know, when Antonio Brown didn't even play yet.
When will you be worried about what Michael Thomas did?
When will I be worried about Michael Thomas did? Probably never.
Never.
Because no, it's not silly of me. I just look at things differently than you. You know, you react quicker to things than I do. You know, it's like it's one player in one game. You know, I can't control what the other team scores.
Yeah, you can't control what your team scores either. The players
do. No, I have some more control over that. I can't control what they score. But here's my point, Greg. I could only set my best possible lineup based on the information that I know. And then all the rest after that is execution, and none of us can control that. So I've done everything I can, you know, to put myself in a position to win. And if it doesn't happen, you know, it's out of my control. I'm not going to sit here and worry about it. If it's Sunday night, we got two players going, and I'm ahead by 10, and you got one guy going, then I'll be concerned, but not after the first game.
You know, it's very easy to say that now. Of course, you've had no players, but how are you going to tell that to the Alvin Kamara owners? How are they feeling this morning?
I think it's a little bit of a different situation because, you know, not every situation is the same. But still, ultimately, I will tell them overall that, look, a lot of your other players didn't play, and there could be another guy on the other side that gets injured or, you know, has a dud of a performance, and it could end up evening out. You know, this is why we talk about why Thursday night football is bad for the NFL. I think it's bad for fantasy, too, because people get overreact. They get too high or too low based on what happens on Thursday.
Well, you know, you do get too high and too low, but I'll say this. If Alvin Kamara gets hurt after that first drive on Sunday, I feel just as crappy as I do right now.
And that, you know, that's the context. Look, it's not good. Thursday night, you know, we've seen a lot of players get injured on Thursday night, so it's not good for the NFL. It's not good for fantasy. But look, you know, I've seen people that get 40 points from Keenan Allen on a Thursday night and lose, you know, or Kareem Hunt, you know, as it does on Thursday night and they win. Look, you don't feel good about Alvin Kamara because it's an injury, and he already had three catches for 25 yards on the first drive. You don't feel good about it, obviously, but it's not over.
No, it's not over.
Not anywhere near over.
It's detrimental. I honestly, when it comes to Kamara, I can't underplay it. Like, listen, I have Michael Thomas against you in a league. Yes, ultimately, there's 15 games left. You have Antonio Brown. Like, that's not even remotely over at all. Like, you expect Antonio Brown to get more than that. That's fine, right? But when you have Alvin Kamara in a league, and let's be realistic, for many that do, they probably drove. He's the one that drove you to the dance, and he gets what, 4 points, 5 points, 6 points, depending on the type of league that you are in. You are feeling. I'm not saying it's over because nothing's over. You're absolutely right. A player can get hurt. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. A player could get hurt. A player could have a bad game. But this is your guy. This is your star. This is what you're looking at 20 points from in a PPR each and every week. And he got you single digits. This is a very tough one to come back from.
Look, it's not a positive. I'm not going to spin it as that or underplay it. But, you know, I think. I don't know if I'd quite use the phrase "it's tough to overcome."
It is
because you're still talking about one player.
Your best player.
You have another. if you have another good wide receiver, a quarterback, and all of a sudden they blow up at 1 o'clock, you've already overcome it.
Scotty, this is not – listen, this is not
a player. Look, I'm not underplaying it, but what I'm saying is it is very disappointing and frustrating that you've started off like that. I'm not going to say that it isn't, but I can't say that you can't overcome it either.
Yes, agreed. But this isn't like any player getting hurt. This is like the best player in the NFL. This is when David Johnson went down in week one. This is where we are right now with Alvin Kamara. And you lost him on the first drive of your playoffs.
The way I look at it is he's got 10 days to recover. And if he can still win your game, that's what you're going to be looking forward to. People may alter their lineup decisions because of this, because they want more upside, et cetera. You can't overthink it. What I'm saying is all you can do is hope for the best from here. That's the only way I can really look at it is that, look, I have other players that overcome it, and there might be a guy that gets injured on the other side. There might be a guy that underperforms on the other side. If I'm playing against Kareem Hunt, he could have another dud. Alvin Kamara still got me 5.3 points or 5.7 points. Kareem Hunt, we've seen him play. He might not even reach that.
No, that's very true. Alvin Kamara did tweet 6 hours ago saying, quote, "Right back at it next week. Hell yeah, it's all about something." Whatever.
That's a good sign that he's able to tweet. he's not concussed enough not to tweet. But I think you and I have, pretty much established a balance here. Like, it is definitely negative, and it's overcome. But at the same time, you haven't been eliminated either.
You haven't been eliminated yet. Yeah, it's absolutely right. You set your best lineup. But how does your lineup potential change, though, Scotty? Because, listen, it's the playoffs. It's win and done. Are you more... are you more okay with taking risks here on Sunday if you're an Alvin Kamara owner and going for the boom rather than just that safe floor when picking players? Are you willing to go that far in order to try to replace Alvin Kamara?
I'm certainly open to it.
Okay.
And I'm open to it in the playoffs at all, but I don't want to get crazy. It's like we've been talking about all week. I don't want to overreact and start Derek Carr over Russell Wilson because of this.
Right. Of course not. Yeah. But you are willing to take
Look, I got a question
chances.
On Twitter a few hours ago. Should I start Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson? So people are thinking that out there.
Our friend Kelly in Tampa, she says, are you allowed to cry if you have Alvin Kamara and Robbie Anderson, who went down with a bit of a groin injury yesterday during practice?
Yeah, I think it's too early to cry. Hold off the Kleenex because we don't know if Anderson's going to play or not. And hopefully by listening to this show, as Kelly does in the channel often, she'll have a viable replacement.
Yeah, we were just talking about that on YouTube. You can check out the video. And you can also check out everything that Scotty does on demand, including his interviews with Courtney Lee. Are you okay? I feel like stuff keeps falling. Are you? I want to make sure you're okay, Scotty.
No, this is, I got to Alvin Kamara bobblehead. It keeps getting knocked over.
All right. So you can check out Scott's interviews with Courtney Leeds, Michael Green, and others on demand wherever you are listening to the Roto Experts podcast edition. You can listen to Scott Angle's interviews with those players from the Knicks and the Grizzlies just a couple of nights ago. Now, Scotty, I'm taking a look at your rankings right now over at rotoexperts.com. It's inside the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package.
Wait a minute now. Hold on.
Yeah.
For the playoffs,
right?
I'd like to reveal to everybody that everything on Roto Experts is free.
Wow!
Yeah.
So you're saying if I made the playoffs, I never needed to buy the exclusive Edge Package to begin with?
Well, you need an exclusive Edge Package to get you to the playoffs.
Oh, that's a great point. It's a hell of a point.
Yeah.
Now, it's free.
Yeah.
So I can look at your rankings for complete free right now over at rotoexperts.com.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to look at the tight ends. That's where I'm having a bit of a problem here. So I'm going to look at your tight ends, Scott. Let's see what you have, the guys I have.
I'm not going to help you if you're talking about our league.
I'm not talking about our league. I have Kyle Rudolph. He's in my lineup. Okay. I'm not doing anything with it. Don't worry. But I do have a question with Greg Olsen. You have him number 20 this week. Ron Rivera has said he's going to play a full workload. You have him at 20, while my other main man, Ricky Seals-Jones, is at 13. Why so high on RSJ? Why so low on Greg Olsen?
I don't trust Greg Olsen. We've already seen him leave a game with a foot injury, and this is going against the Minnesota Vikings, who are so tough in the red zone. I feel like Olsen is too much of a risk. you know, if you have a guy like Seals Jones who's shown a lot of upside over two-plus games.
Fair enough. That was just my personal question. Let me.
I talk about how you got to start your superstars no matter what, but Greg Olsen, you know, we got to take the star tag off of him because he's been lost most of the season, and he's already had trouble playing through this injury.
Oh, man. And the other question I have, you have these guys so close in your flex rankings, and that was Carlos Hyde against Davante Adams, and that's a very tough decision for me.
I don't do flex rankings, but
if you wanted to go
Carlos Hyde.
I'm looking at Jinx.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're so used to checking the link.
I am. I was ready
Hyde
for it.
Hyde versus Adams. It's unquestionably Davante Adams for me in that
really?
Matchup.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So it makes my life a lot easier. Scotty, I am sitting next to the Wall Street Man Modica and the Fantasy Executive. Do you have any last words for them before the weekend?
Good luck in the playoffs. You know, I know it's a big time of year for Matt, and the Executive wants to get another belt.
And Scotty, best of luck to you, too, my friend, this weekend.
All right. We'll see what Antonio Brown and Jarvis Landry can do.
I'm just kidding. I'm not wishing you luck. I hope you lose. All right, Scotty, have a great weekend. I will see you and talk to you on Monday. Matty and Corey rejoin the program as we wrap up hour number one next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Join back now, Fantasy Executive, and with Wall Street, Matt Modica. And, gentlemen, we were just talking with the King about how you should feel about Alvin Kamara and how you react to what happened last night, and I wanted to get back in that with you. So, ultimately, Alvin Kamara gave you very, very little last night, obviously. One drive, and he looked amazing on that one drive. Kamara finishes just with one carry and 2 yards, catching three balls for 25 yards on the first drive before he leaves concussed.
Yeah, stop him and slow down.
Were you rooting for an injury?
He put the juju out there.
You didn't hear the frenzy the other day?
I must have missed it.
Yeah, I said that I don't have Alvin Kamara nowhere. It's a ton of Alvin Kamara teams in the playoffs. This guy's playing amazing. He needs to slow down. I said maybe if something happened to his hamstring, maybe that's what he deserves.
So this is now the second time this year you've done this.
I do not ever want to see nobody get a concussion.
You did this again. You did this with Eric Thames, and now you're doing this with Alvin Kamara.
He needed to slow down. He needed to slow down. You just can't pick up a player and mosey your way to a fantasy championship.
Doesn't work like that.
You need adversity. Kamara owners haven't had no adversity.
We'll say this with Alvin Kamara. He has 11 days to get healthy. Remember, the Falcons and Bucks play a Monday night football next week, so he has the extra day to get through concussion protocol.
Yeah, but no, he'll be playing Saturday.
I'm sorry. The Falcons and the Bucks have the extra day. Kamara, Tevin Coleman has the extra day on Monday night. Kamara does not. He has 10 days to get healthy, which is still okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you got 10 days. Hopefully it's a concussion, so you never know, but you do get these extra days.
They play the Jets.
If you had the bye, that's the optimal way, you know, for your team.
But yes, certainly.
If you survive this week and you get Kamara back next week, you're looking pretty good.
Speaking of the bye, Corey, when your team is a bye, do you root for your players? You're just like, chill.
I'm just chill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, like, I was with somebody, and all of his players are scoring touchdowns. I'm like, listen, you're kind of blowing it right now. I don't want my players to go off right now.
Yeah, it doesn't bother
just
me.
Chill. All right. Michael Thomas did go off on Thursday night. 10 receptions, 117 yards, and a touchdown, 14 targets. Corey, you actually alluded to it before the show. You basically said, listen, if there was no Alvin Kamara, this is what we would have gotten in Michael
Thomas.
That's
what Michael Thomas' game would look like if it wasn't for the emergence of Kamara. He's really eating to his target. But listen, that doesn't mean that Michael Thomas has been bad. Michael Thomas has still had very consistent, productive season.
Yeah.
And he goes right in. He's still a back end of the first round wide receiver to me for 2018.
Yeah, I don't think anything's changed in Michael Thomas. Listen, when you see the numbers at the end of the year, they're going to be awesome.
Yep.
He had 88 right now, Matt, through the first 13 games of his season. 85 receptions, 992 yards. The low number is the touchdowns, which is 4. But this dude's going to have way over 1,000 yards. He's going to have 100 receptions. When you drafted a number wide receiver 1, this is what you were looking for.
Look, he's averaging 16 points a game.
Yeah.
You really can't argue with that. To me, he wasn't like the top 5 receiver. I didn't have him in my rankings that. But it would have
been top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, like 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. So I think that's right where he's fallen. And, you know, 4 weeks with 20 points or more, he had one killer week, and that was week 6
yep.
versus Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, he's pretty much, you can count on 15 points every week.
Pretty much in that PPR, he's had at least 5 receptions in every game except the one against Detroit that Matt mentioned. Everything else has been at least 5 for 50, essentially. You know, his first game was only 5 for 45 against Xavier Rhodes. So it was like, all right, Rhodes closed. Fine, I get that. Everything else, you've gotten at least 5 for 50, usually more like 5 for 70. So things have kind of picked up.
The killer last night was that Lee Jones touchdown. That was like, you know, he was hoping Ingram. Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, what the hell?
Actually, his real name is Tommy Lee Lewis, but we'll call him Tommy Lee. We'll call him Tommy Lee Jones anyway. See where your head is at this morning.
Yeah, no, I was quite annoyed. I was hoping his foot was out of bounds, to be honest with you.
Same.
I was like, come on, be out of bounds.
Just like that Michael Thomas touchdown. No, another one. Mark Ingram last night without Kamara rushed the ball 12 times for 49 yards, but it seemed like they went away from him a lot in the second half.
Yeah, it was a head-scratcher.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially when they got into that field goal range and had that locked
just
up.
Just run the ball.
Or throw a short pass to him.
Yeah, he did catch four balls for 43 yards. Ted Ginn took a big shot but held on to a ball on the last drive, which was good. When we come back, everything you need to know for this weekend and your telephone calls, 844-843-6879. Here's Mike Lyon at the bottom of the hour. Roto Experts, live on television, next.